A pleasant good afternoon to everyone. My name is Alex Leibolt, and today I'm joined by Seton Hall men's soccer forward CJ Tibbling. The Swedish native is a junior here at Seton Hall and has been one of the Pirates' most important players over the past few seasons. This season, Tibbling has scored 6 of the team's 22 goals while providing 3 assists in 13 games, while also running a spot on the All Big East first team. Tibbling and the Seton Hall Pirates are just coming off of a miraculous 2-1 upset over national powerhouse Georgetown, where Tibbling scored a goal and provided an assist to help the Pirates claim their first Big East championship in 30 years. So with that, I'd like to thank you for joining me, CJ. It's a pleasure to be connecting with you through your busy schedule. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you. I'm glad to be here. I'm doing well. You know, it's a beautiful day. It's a beautiful week to be a Pirate,
let me tell you. It's a beautiful week to be a Pirate, especially after last weekend. To start with this this interview, I'd just like to get to know you better a little bit. And with that, I was wondering what it was like to have to come all the way to the United States from Sweden to pursue your athletic career and what sacrifices you had to make for that.
It was quite a big move, you know, like coming across the water or the other side of the pond, so to speak. You know, the biggest that probably most people can relate to is like being so far away from your family, you know, and your friends. Like, at first it was, to be honest, the first time, like, I was going here and it was more like I wanted to try it, see what it was, you know, so I wasn't really thinking about too much leaving the family or whatever. But then it was the second time when I realized, okay, I'm probably going to do this and like, I'm going back to my other life, you know, like it's, because when you come here, it's like kind of you're in a bubble, you know, like you don't, it's like another world almost, you know, like you have your family over there, but like you have your life over here, you know, it's like two separate lives. So like, for me, like I learned to deal with it kind of quickly. I mean, the thing was, before I went to Sweden, or before I came here, I was living in another part of Sweden playing soccer, like full time. And like, the thing was, we were playing a lot of teams that were around the area where I grew up, where my mom and my parents stayed. So I would be able to go, like, one day before the game, you know, take it. We usually flew up to that place because it was so far up north, this place I was living. And, like, I would fly up, like, one day before. I could spend some time, and then I would meet up with the team, and we'd go to the game, and I could stay another day.
Nice.
So that kind of set me up well for staying away from the family, you know, like there I was staying away, but I had the chance to see my family now and again. And then instead of just, because I feel like a lot of people who come to this, not the States particularly, but just go far away from home, you know, it's that instant transition from always being near your family to not being with them at all, you know.
It
was definitely a transition, but I think it could have been more difficult for sure.
Awesome. Next up, what or who influenced you to want to become a soccer player growing up?
That's a good question. I mean, I've always liked just you know, moving my body, just being like involved in any kind of sports, whether it be like, I used to do Brazilian jiu-jitsu and circus and acrobatics and stuff like that. Like,
nice.
I think soccer just became the one because, partially my dad, he played soccer when he was younger. That's what brought him to Sweden. He grew up in Nigeria, and then he started playing in Turkey, but then he had some problems with his visa, and somehow he ended up in Sweden, and that's where he met my mom, you know. And then I came, and like, so he's always been very supportive for me, and been a role model, always trying to, you know, help me improve my game. Also my grandmother. But if you're gonna take one person that like I really aspire to be like more, is probably Zlatan Ibrahimovic.
Of course.
You'll probably hear every Swede say that.
Hey,
I'm just gonna close my door. But like, he's,
Zlatan is a Swedish legend, to say the least. He's a soccer legend for sure. He's one of the reasons why I started to watch soccer for sure too.
Oh yeah, that's
absolutely.
Yeah, no, he's just, you know, he talks. talks a big game, but, you know, when you talk a big game and can back it up, it's like...
Exactly, he could back it up.
Do you?
You can't really hate that, yeah.
Yeah.
So how did you initially hear of Seton Hall's soccer program?
So basically, from the get-go, I was supposed to... I'd committed to San Diego State University.
Okay.
But that was the year before I came here. And basically, something came up. I got the chance to go play abroad a little bit. And I thought that was like a done deal. That's what they were telling me. But then, so then I had to decline or break the deal with San Diego. And what's it called? But then I ended up staying in Sweden anyway. And I was like, I'm tired of... Shit, it's a lawnmower. I'm tired of... You know, Swedish football, you know, I want to use, like, my soccer to go somewhere else, you know.
And
I thought, okay, if I still have the options to go to the States, I can consider that. You know, because it's always, like, you have this kind of dilemma where, you know, soccer is more prevalent in Europe.
Yeah, as
you
for sure. Know.
And, like, so people will tell you, like, ah, going to the States is not a good idea, la la, it's going to hurt your soccer career, la la. And, like, I was listening to some of that in the beginning, but I was like, I still want to try it. I want to see what it's about, you know. And to be honest, I think the States is no better place to, like, combine education and, like, a sport, you know.
Yeah.
And, like, if you're, like, decent, you don't even have to be amazing in Europe to be able to get a pretty good deal here, you know.
Yeah.
So, like, coming here, like, where I would be, like, maybe one in the crowd, like, a little bit, you know, in the Europe, if I come here, like, it's easier to, like, make a name for yourself, you know. I forgot what the question was.
It was, how did you initially hear of Seton Hall's soccer program?
Oh, yeah. I didn't go to San Diego State, and then the guy I've been working with, who was connecting me with school, said, "Oh, I have a school for you that's on the other side of the coast." Because since I signed a deal with San Diego, I was kind of they could decide where I could go next. That coach was so mad, like when I declined like last minute, because. You know, he was building his plan around me, you know.
Yeah.
And so then when the guy said that I had a school on the other side of the coast, he was like, "All right, that's fine."
Yeah. It's not my problem.
Exactly. So it was a good fit, and it worked with what had happened before.
Yeah, that's awesome. It all fell into place, it seems, into the right time. Yeah.
No, for sure.
So you came into this program while head coach Andreas Lindberg was still getting adjusted into his role here. How has your relationship with the coach evolved over your time together, and how has that affected your game?
So, our relationship has really, you know, because even I think when you struggle, that's where you see a person's true colors more, you know, and like that's where you really need to be support each other, you know.
Yeah.
So like there's been some ups and downs, you know, but he's always supported me, and he's always like, if there's any trouble, then like if someone's I don't know, he's always got my back, you know. So then, so like through the years, it has definitely been strengthened, and then it's just amazing to see that, like, what we set out to do at the start, you know, like when he told me to come here, it was like, you know, the plan was to turn this program around, you know. And like the first 2 years, like, we had the players, but we couldn't really get that team bonding, you know, and everything wasn't clicking. We were so close, like, each year, you know, like we were one game away from playoffs both years.
But I mean
it's night and day from this season, you know.
Yeah, like, for sure.
That season we had a few wins here and there, but this, like, you know, it's been good, you know. So I mean, our relationship has, you know, definitely evolved throughout the years, yeah.
For sure. I actually had spent some time with the team back in 2018. I'm not sure if you remember,
but yeah, I thought your face looked similar.
Yeah, I was one of the two soccer op managers with and I remember seeing the team had the talent, and
yeah,
they right. It was just you had to figure out what pieces fit where, and
exactly.
It was nice to see how the team blossomed into the way it is now. Speaking into now, the United Soccer Coaches Poll just released their new rankings today, and they put Seton Hall at the sixth best team in the country. For you, what's it like being one of the big name players on Seton Hall's highest ranked team since 1988?
I mean, to be honest, I don't think about it too much. Like I the thing is with soccer, like, of course it's a lot about confidence, you know. Like, a player could be really good, but if he's not like if he doesn't believe in himself, he's not gonna play well. But like, I try always to stay humble, and like, you know, it's just team sport, you know. It's a cliche everybody says this, but it is a team sport. Like, I would never be able to win the biggest trophy myself, you know. Like,
of course.
It's about every single player coming together and like going towards one goal together and working for each other, and I think I was so like it's just been so nice to see this season, like how we've evolved. Like, with every win, we've just became stronger and stronger together. And like, for me to be able to score the goals and whatever, like, of course it's the best feeling ever, you know. But I'm so glad that like everybody's doing well together. And the thing is, like, you would see some teams, you know, like, even every part of our team is like, everybody was happy when we won, like, even the ones who never stepped on the field, you know. And that's just a beautiful thing to see, like, because it's really not just about the person, you know, who scores the goal. It's about the whole thing around, you know, the support and the trainings and, you know, the trips, everything. So I mean, it's good though.
Yeah, for sure. That's a perfect segue into my next question about the players on the team. It seems like all you guys are super close, and you would be there for each other through thick and thin. How does that help with your overall performance and chemistry on the field?
I mean, I think that's the most important piece of any team, you know. Like, there just can't be egos, you know, on the team. Like, if you could have, like you said, like the first year or second year you came here, like, there was talent, you know. We didn't have bad players, but we couldn't get that we couldn't get those, you know, connections going. Like, we were, I don't know, we just. It was a little bit too much the player over the team, I think.
Yeah.
And I might have been a part of that too, you know. Like, I came from, when I was playing in Sweden, I came from a culture where it was very every man for themselves, you know. Like, it was very, very hard, I don't know, climate, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So when I came here, like, it was like coaches, you know, trying to actually be, I don't know, try to connect with you and like the players, you know, like every player is like wants what's best for you, then like it just becomes so much more easy. Like this final, I don't know, you know, Andrea Borg, the guy, the winger.
Yeah.
Like he doesn't have an attitude problem, but like, you know, he'll if he doesn't get the ball, he'll complain a little bit, you know, and then like not really do the defensive work. But this final, like, I've never seen him run like this before. Like, and
that's awesome.
Even though he didn't have the ball, like maybe 4 or 5 minutes, and he didn't get the perfect ball, he was still just doing his job. Like, and like he was like the last person to come to that. And like, and if everybody just does their job, and you know, like try to you know, help each other out, then becomes so much easier, more easier, and I mean, you know, a team that has fun together, and they're gonna do well together
Yeah,
too.
for sure.
Because, you know,
It's all about chemistry.
all about chemistry, you know.
So this season, the Seton Hall Pirates went undefeated at home, and that's never an easy thing to do. I know for some of the games towards the latter half of the season, fans were allowed to come back and students were allowed to sit in the bleachers again. How has that fan base coming back to games ha affected you and your team's performance on the field?
I mean, take that game against Georgetown. I feel like the support we had that game, like it took us to another level, to be honest. Like, soccer is really a sport that's meant to play, like any other sport, meant to play with supporters. Like,
Yeah.
it just creates a different atmosphere in a way,
For
you know.
sure.
And I think that's the sad part with COVID, you know, like, it doesn't really feel like the same, you know. Like, and it makes it harder for the players to, you know, get into that zone, you know,
Yeah.
where it's game time. So, I mean, yeah, it has definitely helped. And, like, we have the, I don't know what they call it, scallywags or something.
Yeah, the scalawags.
I think they came out that game. And, like, I mean, it just makes it more fun, you know. And like, the whole community, Seton Hall community, you know, can take a part of what we've been doing this year. So long, everybody, I think it's a win-win, you know.
Yeah, good times to be a pirate for sure. So looking at the Big East Championship game, obviously you got a goal and an assist to help win the game, but I want to know what was going through your head as as one of the forwards as you watched Nota make that penalty save in the championship. What was going through your head the moment that he kicked the ball?
Oof, I mean, the moment when he saved
The moment
it.
when he saved it, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I could just say before I saw when we got the penalty, I was like, oh no. When they got the penalty, I was like, oh no. I've been running my ass off that game, and I was like, nah, I can't take an overtime. I can't take an overtime. No, I don't want to run anymore. So, I mean, when he saved that, I was like, ah, it was just such a relief, you know.
Yeah.
Like, but the thing is, like, I kind of felt like it was gonna save. I don't know. It was, you know, they won with two penalties last game. I was like, nah, this
Not this
cannot be
time.
happening again, you know. Like,
Yeah.
they can't be bailed out from another
Not this time.
penalty, you know. So no, I was so relieved. Well, I mean, my heart rate went up a little bit, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
When we could, because we had a hard time clearing the ball too, you know, it was bouncing around,
Yep.
and I think Camille and Nota was threw themselves
No
in front of
tattoo.
the goal for the rebound too. And so, I mean, yeah, that was definitely quite a scary moment in the
Yeah,
game.
definitely one to get your heart pumping for sure. My heart was pumping watching it. It was awesome.
I can imagine.
So when the whistle finally blew and you did end up winning the Big East, what does that mean to you as a person and as a player of this organization?
Oof, what does it mean? I mean, it's a great honor, you know. It's a great honor. Like they say, what's it been, 30 years
Yep,
since the last
the first time we've won since 1991.
1991? Yeah, I mean, I just feel blessed, you know, to be a part of this team. And it really felt like this season, like, the stars aligned for us, you know. Like, in a lot of games, you know, it's like it's quite close, but we always manage to find a way, you know, to win. And I mean, once we won that time, I mean, it was euphoric, you know. As I was about 9, you know. It
Yeah.
was, I guess, but I mean, this is just one step of the road, you know. I want to play soccer as much as possible in life. So then you gotta win championships and stuff like that to really put your name out there, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm happy.
Speaking of that, as a junior, you do have one more year left to leave your mark on this organization. How confident are you in the team and yourself that you guys will be able to perform at this level again next year?
Oof, I'm more than confident. I mean, for me, the what's it called? The sky is the limit. Like, we came into this season like I'd had COVID in the fall, and some of my teammates too. So like, we didn't really have a proper preseason, and like, even when we came here, it was I think we had one case of COVID, so the whole team was shut down for 10 days. And on top of that, for some reason, this year it had to snow like every other day,
Yeah, this winter was
January,
pretty tough.
February. Yeah, it's crazy, right? So like, we didn't even have a proper preseason to like, go over the tactics and like get these patterns going. So we just learned as the games went on. So like, say if we come in now in August, or if we even do a little bit earlier this year, like end of July, and have a proper preseason where we can just play with each other and just continue to enhance those connections, that chemistry, and like work even more on tactics. Because right now I think we're playing soccer that's adapt for college, but we're not, I don't think we're playing the prettiest soccer. Like, we're winning, it's like, it's kind of Mourinho style, but I mean, but I think we have the players to play a little bit more nice football, a little bit more beautiful football, keep the ball a bit more. And I think if we can add that to our repertoire, then I think we can be unstoppable next week, to be honest.
Maybe find that balance of a strong defensive unit, but a creative, beautiful passing kind of team. That would be really, that'd be really awesome to see next season. I know this is you still have that year left, but after, where do you see yourself going with your career? I know there's the MLS draft that they do out of college. They do, or you could just go back to Europe and go through there.
I wouldn't mind staying in the US a few more years. Like, I'm here now, you never know when you're gonna get this opportunity again, so I mean, I'm just gonna keep working hard and like see what comes my way, and whether that leads me to somewhere in the US, or if I go back home somewhere in Europe or Sweden, then maybe it. But I definitely want to play soccer for a little while longer.
Staying in the US wouldn't definitely wouldn't hurt. There's a lot of recruitment in Europe going into the US and the MLS right now. They've been stealing a lot of young talent through from the teams.
Oh, like from the US to Europe, you mean?
Yeah, they've been picking up a lot of young American talent and bringing them over to Europe.
That's true. Like, what's his name? Gio Reyna.
Gio Reyna, Weston McKennie,
There's a few names
Alphonso
there.
Davies too.
You must be excited for World Cup. What is it? Maybe 2026 or something, I think.
2026 should be fun for the United States for sure. Who
Yeah.
knows, could be fun for Sweden too.
Who
You
knows? Who
never know,
knows?
fingers crossed. And I think this will be the last question for us today. Do you think the Seton Hall men's soccer program will be able to stay successful for years to come after you leave?
I think a major part of college soccer is to be able to find the right players, but I think also it's about the culture and the team, and I feel like we've created a winning culture and a winning mentality and winning ways in the team now. So then there's always going to be a few players left that have been part of this team now, and they'll be able to carry on that mentality and those ways. And like me, I mean, the coach will probably probably has a lifetime position now. So I think they'll be fine. Loki, I wish I'll never leave. It's, I don't know. I think it's just me and Andreas Nota left now from the first year. So I mean, that's college soccer. It's every year it's almost a new team. So
Every year, a couple of years. It's out with the old and with the new.
Exactly. So yeah, I think they'll be more than okay. Yeah, I hope so. Fingers crossed.
Awesome. Well, with that, I would like to say thank you so much for joining me today, CJ. I'm very grateful for this opportunity, and I wish you guys the best of luck in the upcoming tournament.
Thank you.
You guys can watch CJ and Seton Hall and the Seton Hall Pirates take on Air Force in Seton Hall's first NCAA tournament game since 2005 on Sunday, May 3rd at 8 p.m. in North Carolina. I'm Alex Leibold. Thank you again for tuning into the interview.